Mr. Handy, where are you from?
Well, I'm from Beeville now. That's what you want to know.
Where were you born?
I was born in Goliad County, Fannin, a little town of Fannin between Victoria and Goliad. And I went to school there 3 years. And we moved to Refugio. And the household goods all moved by teams and wagons. Took about 2 days to make a trip from where we moved to Refugio on the ranch.
2 days? Well, how far was that?
Well, about 30 some odd miles.
2 days, so 30 miles.
Mm-hmm. Wagons going real slow. And then I went to school 3 years in Refugio at Mercy Academy, rode horseback to school with a sister. She also rode horseback. Then we moved from that to the Lucas Ranch. Again, we moved by, there was still no trucks. We had to move by wagon and team to this other ranch.
What were the roads like?
The ordinary roads, just go out through the pasture.
Were there any fences up?
There were fences, but there wasn't any roads. There wasn't a graded road. There was just zigzag going around through the brush. It wasn't until they had cars until they started building roads. Mm-hmm. Now where do we go?
What kind of school did you go to in Ophelia?
Well, that was a Mercy Academy.
Mm-hmm. Then you went to a private school.
Then went 2 more years after that to 2 different private schools. Now, both of them had one of them rode the horseback 6 miles and another one about 8. The last year I went to school, I rode 8 miles to school and back.
How big was the schoolhouse?
That was 16 mothers of just a residence as a private school. I was only a tutor, you see. I was only a scholar.
Was this on a ranch?
Mm-hmm. On the Lucas Ranch, mm-hmm. which is Ramses National Wildlife Refuge today.
Could you tell us about the ranch?
Oh, this is a big ranch and lots of cattle and lots of work.
How did you work there?
Well, I started when I was big enough to work. Well, I started out $15 a month and worked there until I was 29 years old, I believe, when I left there to work for the Federal Land Bank of Houston. But I finally got my salary up to about $75 a month before I left, which is pretty good salary those days.
Could you tell us about the owner of the ranch?
Yeah, well, he is a wonderful man, in my opinion. He owned a lot of other ranches. Lots of cattle. Well, I thought so much of Mr. Lewis, I'd have even voted for him for president, I believe.
Did you ever have any cattle rustling out there?
No, not that I know of.
What about diseases with your animals?
There's lots of that. We had to vaccinate for black leg, kills calves. And then anthrax, some people called it chorbin those days. That killed lots of cattle in the coast country different times, and they had to be vaccinated against that. The first vaccinating we did, we got a doctor from Victoria, Dr. Ireland, who was the only one that I knew at the time anywhere in the state. The state, but none nearby in this area. He was the only one. And he showed us how to do it, so it wasn't, but I believe the next year we did all that ourselves.
Was it hard to get medicine?
No.
It's hard to get
the veterinarian. Hard to get the veterinarian. It was a medicine. He furnished the medicine. I don't think it's hard to get. Mm-hmm. He had lots of medicine.
Was it hard to get a medical doctor if someone got sick?
Well, I don't believe you could have hardly gotten one down there at that time. I don't know how we'd have got it. If some of us had got sick, I don't know what we'd done for a doctor. Now, later years, well, of course, it got a little better. Doctors would go anywhere you'd want them to go. It was easy to get a few years after that. a doctor, it's easier to get to come out the country to see you and pay a house call than they are today. But in the early part of this time, when I was just a small kid, well, they'd been pretty hard to get. But then after I was up 20 years old, well, there was a good many doctors over the country that had cars by that time, and oh, they'd go anywhere. Quick.
Was this ranch real isolated?
Well, pretty isolated. We had our own post office in the house where we lived in. My sister was postmaster. Mailed 3 times a week horseback. And finally they cut it down to once a week. I mean twice a week. And we didn't like that because we just got used to that 3 times a week. And then the people moved out. A lot of them, they cut it down to once a week. And then it wasn't long until they cut it out entirely, discontinued the post office. Then we realized what we missed by not having a little old post office there, so handy and convenient to bring the mail to us.
Wasn't it sort of unusual to have a woman postmaster?
Well, I don't know. There's a few of them today, I guess. I don't. She's the only one that's available.
How did you get your supplies on the ranch?
We got on a boat from Rockport for several years, and then we switched from Rockport to Seadrift and got our provisions there for 2 or 3 years. And then when the little town of Oswell was started, built in 1912, well, that's when we, and they built a railroad there then, that's when we got changed to Oswell to get our supplies.
Did the railroad help you with your cattle?
Oh yeah, you didn't have to drive them so far away. Before the Oswell had a railroad, we had to drive them about 20 miles to ship. And when they got shipping pins in Oswell, we just had to drive 9 miles. So cut that half in two.
How often did you drive the cattle up there?
Oh, mostly in the summer and in the fall, we drove lots of cattle up there. Sometimes we'd ship 1,000 at one time, all along with Mr. Lucas.
Where'd these cattle go?
Well, they'd go to grass in Kansas, mostly. But before we had the railroad to Oswell, though, well, we drove lots of cattle from that ranch to his ranch at Berkeley, about 65 miles. That was several days' drive. We'd drive 1,500 and 2,000 head at a time sometimes. We'd just take out and go straight. And when we'd hit a fence, we'd just take it down. That was all right for the ranchmen in those days, see. You'd ride, when you hit a fence, there wouldn't be any gate, but we just pull the staples out and lower the wire, drive the cattle over, and then put the wire back up and nail it, and go on. And next year we do the same thing. And it's all right with the ranchmen, see. It's all just all good neighbors, see. Now if you'd tear a man's fence down and take it down and drive work, you'd get shot, probably.
Did it take a lot of cowboys to do this sort of thing?
Oh, about 10, 12, I imagine. Only big herd cattle like that. Mostly Mexican cowboys, some white, some colored, some black.
Really? Did they live, all of them, together on the ranch?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's not all of them. They wouldn't live there all the time, all that bunch of hands. We had extra hands when we were cattle, but I'd say half of them lived on the ranch all the time, but when we were cattle, we'd have to have some more extra help.
Were these just drifters that came by?
No, we didn't. We just hired men that we knew that lived around there. Worked on the other ranches part-time from time to time, you see. No, we didn't. We never hired any drifters that came by. In fact, the drifter couldn't find that ranch. too out of the way.
What did you make for your efforts?
When I first started, it was $15 a month. In fact, it wasn't $15 a month. It was 50 cents a day. That's just the days I worked, see. If I worked 3 days a week or four, well, I got 50 cents. But a little later, well, he wanted to pay me a little more, so he paid me straight $15 a month, you see. I earned that every month. Well, I might work 2 or 3 days, or I might work a whole week, but anyway, I got $15 a month, which is the same thing as 4 bits a day, you see. But while I was working for 50 cents a day, well, I may not draw it. May not make $15 a day, see, because it wouldn't work enough days. So. And I worked many a year there for, finally got $30 a month, $35, and then finally $75 a month.
Was it hard work?
Oh, yeah. It didn't seem so hard then. We was young and liked to work hard. But it was real hard work. I've done a little hard work, all kinds of work.
What did y'all do for entertainment?
Rode horseback. We worked for entertainment. We'd had entertainment.
Didn't play cards? Didn't go fishing?
Oh, we'd go hunting, fishing, yeah. And sometimes we'd, about once a month, we'd go to a traveling picture show. We'd come in to the town.
A traveling picture show?
They'd come in and set up shop for about a week in these little towns, you know.
A real screen, real film?
Yeah, show a little show.
Did they play the piano with it?
Yeah, I had some kind of music, I believe, if I remember right.
Well, did you go to church on Sundays as a group? Or was there church out there or no church?
Well, we didn't have any church for years there, but when Oswego started in 1912, we went to church pretty regularly there at Oswego. There's nice churches built in Oswego. And we'd go to church there in Sunday school. And then,
how many years did you work on this ranch?
Well, I lived on that ranch from 1908 to 1925. But the first 2 or 3 years I didn't work much. But, well, I worked most of those years on that ranch.
Well, were you in the war?
Mm-hmm. World War I, yes. 12 months in France.
And then you came back to the ranch.
Came back to the ranch. And that's, I got back in time to help work the cattle to eradicate the fever tick. And that was the hardest work that we had. The cattle had to be dipped twice a month. Every 2 weeks, see? And we were dipping about 5,000 head. 4,000 to 5,000 every time we dipped. And they had to be dipped twice that month, see, so we'd start in on, and it'd take us 2 weeks to dip. So when we dipped the last herd, we'd start right back on the first thing again, just whenever did stop dipping.
What is dipping?
Well, I was build a vat and run and put medicine, dip in there and run them in and kill the ticks, see, the fever tick.
In other words, you're washing your cattle?
Washing them, giving them a shower bath. And killing the tick all the same. Now, you see, that's, eradicated the fever tick, too. You never hear them anymore, except in Mexico. Occasionally, they get across the border on some cattle along the Rio Grande, but you never hear of a fever tick inland in Texas anymore. Just occasionally along the river. They still have them in Mexico, you see. And another thing we had then is lots of work was doctoring for schoolworms. And now we've eradicated the schoolworm, you see. And we had, that was some of our hardest work, was doctoring cattle for schoolworms.
How did you do that?
Well, we got them up in traps and got medicine to kill them, you see. If you didn't doctor them, well, there'd be worms that eat them up, they'd kill them, kill the cattle.
What other kind of work did you do? Special jobs?
Well, I didn't do any special jobs.
No cowboy engineering?
Well, I imagine I did some cowboy engineering and didn't know it. we did a lot of cowboy and building fences and things, but... Well, that was this one pasture was 20,000 acres. And we wanted to build a fence through the middle of it. And when you, on the north side, we knew where we wanted to start. But we didn't know how to get to our stopping place in the middle of the pasture on the south side, which is about, I've forgotten how many miles I said there. Several miles, I'll just say several. And so we waited, and we went down on the lower end and worked 3 or 4 days piling brush up. And then the first real clear, still day we had, real calm, we went down there and put a lot of oil and went in and set it on fire, and we'd see that black smoke go high in the air. Then we set our stakes and went right straight to that, where that smoke was. We built a straight fence, and that's a form, I guess, of cowboy engineering. That's the only way we had to, didn't have a surveyor, you know, to do it. So we cut that pasture in two in the middle, and then we'd dip from one side to the other every 2 weeks. In other words, we'd clean all the cattle out of this, out of one side, and dip them, throw them in this side. And they'd graze that 2 weeks, see? And then we'd start there and dip them and put them right back in the other side, and they'd stay there 2 weeks. And one side of the pasture was resting for 2 weeks, see, every time, which made it a lot easier to dip.
Did you ever have brush fires in that country?
All the time, just as often as we could. We kept the brush down a lot, but we burned it on purpose. See, we just go out with matches and burn it. Every time it burned, we'd burn it. And the grass would come right back, and they kept keep the brush down, too. But nowadays, they don't burn as much as we did then, and that's the reason the brush is taking the country so.
Do you remember anything about the beginning of the mesquite tree in the region? Or was it there already?
No, I remember when there was lots of mesquite trees when I was young, just a kid. But there's also lots of real prairie land where you didn't see a mesquite. In other words, when I lived in Goliad County, I'd never seen a mesquite tree until we moved to Refugio County. I don't know of a mesquite tree that I'd ever seen in Goliad County at the time we left there, or a rattlesnake. And now there's parts of Goliad County is just taken by brush, mesquites. That's how it's taken it in my recollection.
Why weren't there any rattlesnakes?
I don't know. There's plenty of them right now around Goliad County. But I've never seen one until all of a sudden. B County's always had a lot of rattlesnakes, but my part of Goliad County where I lived, well, I'd never seen a rattlesnake till I got to Refugio.
Did you have any trouble with storms out on this peninsula?
Oh, yeah, we had plenty of storms.
Did it frighten the cattle?
It never killed any cattle on this peninsula ranch, but Mr. Lucas also owned a lot of cattle, lots of cattle on St. Joe Island and Matagorda. And in 1919, well, he lost, a 1,000 cattle or more. I think more. It washed ashore, washed to this ranch from Matagorda Island. And 50 head from St. Joe Island landed at Lamar. You know Lamar as Mills Wharf. It was Lamar those days. Well, 54 head landed there alive.
What happened to them?
Well, they get her on their side and they put their head back on their side and they float. See, they float again. But some of them were crazed or addled by that water, you know, there's so much water. And I went, took some hands down out together, these 54 head. At Lamar, and take them back to this ranch, Lucas Ranch, at the Blackjacks. And I was riding along with Mr. Simon Paul, a man who lived at Lamar, and we rode up on this little wild cow, and she just threw her head up and went trembling and shaking. And then just made a dive into my horse and gored him, so he died that night, killed him that night. He died that night. Yeah.
So you men did have to round up the strays and try.
Yeah. Now those 54 head, well, no, they were not strays. They just simply came off Miss Lucas Ranch on St. Joe Island and landed in Lamar, you see. And I was his cattle, they wasn't the strays in time. And they will forget there's 54 of them. Of course, that cow killing that horse made me remember too, you see. And then in 1924, I helped kill, well, there's a freeze that killed about 1,000 head of cattle on this Blackjack Ranch. I had a crew of Mexicans that skinned about 800 of them. We'd sell the hides, see, and get a little bit of it. About 1,000 head died there that year. The other ranches, I suffered greater losses than that.
Well, what happened to you after you left the ranch?
Well, when I left the ranch in 1925, I went to work for a land bank and appraising ranches and farms for land, for loans. I was an appraiser. And I worked at San Angelo and lived for a year or two in 24 and 5. And finally moved back to Beeville and lived there until 37. Moved back from San Angelo, moved back to Beeville, and stayed until 1937, and moved back to San Angelo in 1937, and then back to Beeville again in 51, and then I retired then in 61 from the job, and I've been ranching ever since and began.
What did you do as a land appraiser?
Well, I drove over the land and decided how much the outright woman and establish a loan value on these ranches.
Did you have to go by horseback?
Occasionally. We'd hit a rough ranch that you couldn't get on a car and you'd have to ride horseback. That's a mountain ranch.
When you started your own ranch in Beeville, did you have any help, or did you do most of it yourself?
No, I bought this I didn't have any help on any of it. I did it all myself. I don't know. Money-wise, I didn't have any help. Made everything that I got. I didn't have much, but I made it all. Hard work. The first ranch I bought in Bee County was, I bought it in 1928. And I sold it. And the ranch I have now, I bought it in 1937, most of it. Bought a few little tracks later, but I bought the main body of it in 1937.
What was the depression like?
Well,
back then, how did it affect the ranchers?
Well, it broke lots of ranchers. I'd have been one of them if I hadn't had a good job, I guess. I had a good job at the Federal Land Bank and made a good salary. And I could ride out a pretty good depression. But it was pretty tough. I was looking over some old sales. Cattle sales of mine the other day. Well, I sold two cows that averaged 1,000 pounds each, and they bought $25 each, see. And today they'd bought 300. Today they'd bring $300, those two cows. Bring 30 cents a pound.
Were you in Beeville at this time?
Yeah, I was in Beeville. That's when I lived in Beeville during the Depression.
What was Beeville like then? How big was it?
Oh, it wasn't as big as it is now. It's grown a lot. Most of Beeville's growth has been since Chase Field, you know, in the 40s. When I first knew Beeville, I'd know nearly everybody I'd meet on the street. And now, I don't know anybody.
I'd like to ask you about some transportation systems in South Texas, what you used to begin with, and railroads.
That takes me back to when we talked about Refugio a few minutes ago. There's no railroad in Refugio, and all the food that people ate, and clothes they wore, and provisions for the ranch, feed for the horses, was all came in by mule team from Goliad. They made regular runs on the road all the time, hauling provisions for the little town. And the railroad was built in Furio about 1905 or 6. I don't know just exactly. And I was going to the Mercy Academy there when the first train came through. And the teachers, they were sisters, see. And they turned our school so the kids could go see the train. And we thought nothing of riding a horse 30 miles. That's the only transportation we had. You either go in a buggy or a wagon or a horseback. You wouldn't walk when it's too far to walk.
What were the roads like?
Well, you just had to, you just went down through the pasture. That's all. That's the only road you had. It was just a road that a wagon or a buggy had made.
When it rained, could you go anywhere?
Well, you could usually go in the rain with teams and pull you usually, but when we first, when the automobile first came out, the roads were bad, and if it rained, you're stuck. You couldn't go. You're just there. That's all there was to it. You couldn't go anywhere on account of the rain, mud. But when we still had the horses, well, we could go pretty well in the mud because they were pretty good mudders. But we wouldn't think anything of going, we'd hitch up a team and drive 30 miles to a dance. 35, 40 miles maybe. And we thought we had pretty good transportation.
What kind of dances were these?
Oh, they were good dances. There's, I don't, see, the square dance had gone out when I started. It had just gone out. I remember seeing a few square dances at that when I was just a little kid. Seeing my mother and father and other people go, they dance the square dance. But by the time I got up to start dancing, well, the square dance was out. We just do the two-step, three-step waltz, and that's all there was to it. We had a good time.
Where were the dances held?
Anywhere you could find a house. A schoolhouse, a old hall, a old store in town, just anywhere you could.
Well, how did you court a girl if you had to go so far?
Well, we just did a lot of courting what little time we was at. No, this is always the way to court.
What were weddings like?
Well, pretty sad, just like they are now. Yeah, you know, I never did enjoy a wedding too much. You know, I go to a lot of weddings.
Was it a big occasion?
I don't know, yeah, oh gosh, yeah. Well, I've seen them at the... Well, they'd celebrate for 3 or 4 days, some people at a wedding, especially German people. They'd have a big barbecue, you know. They're a big time for several days. But our people never did that.
What was a funeral like? You have a horse-drawn hearse?
Oh, yeah. That is a problem, too. You know, when on this ranch, go back to this ranch on the Blackjacks, in the Blackjacks, well, my grandmother passed away on that ranch. When I was just a kid, and we took her to Fannin to bury her. And we had to take her from the Blackjack Ranch to Refugio by wagon, in a wagon. And spent one night on the road. And then got to Refugio the next day and put her on a train and took her to Victoria and then from there to Fannin and buried her. And that's pretty hard, but that's the only way it could be done. There wasn't a motor car of any kind of motor transportation. And that's just the way it could. But we did get a doctor for her. But I've forgotten where we got him or how we got him. He came in out of buggy, I'm sure. But I can't recall who he was or where he came from. But she was old and she passed away on that ranch.